It's time for the Eastern Regional Football Championship on the Blue Raiders Sports Network. This afternoon, it's the District 3 champion Middletown Blue Raiders against the District 2 Berwick Bulldogs. Today's AAA matchup is being brought to you by Core State's Hamilton Bank, Martin's Touch of Class Tanning and Toning, Rhodes Pharmacy, Smitty's Restaurant, and Middletown Lumber. Today's engineer is John Cooper. The studio producer is Sean Lohner. Now to Bethlehem Liberty Football Stadium and the voice of the Blue Raiders, John Wilfox.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to everyone. John Wilfox along with Andy Hoover, Steve Leedy, and Todd Brubaker on the field with the wireless microphone. And this afternoon, it's the Middletown Blue Raiders against the Berwick Bulldogs here at Bethlehem Liberty Football Stadium. And both teams have warmed up on the near sidelines. Middletown certainly, I'm sure, got another motivational talk about some of the things that have been said this past week in the papers and television. But you can't overlook the fact, Andy Hoover, that this Berwick team, although interior line-wise, Middletown over has more size than them, they do have some tremendous athletes, especially in their quarterback.
Well, Jake Keltzner, I think that's going to be the key, him against Middletown. And maybe if Middletown can get good pressure on him, which I noticed that their offensive line tends to do, let pressure on the quarterback, they may force him to make some quick decisions, which could mean interceptions. Last week against Mannheim Central, Middletown 3 interceptions. Secondary doing a good job there, although they did leave a lot of guys open. Bartow just didn't take the chance to throw to him, although Kelchner, I think, would. Also, Kelchner reads defense at the offensive line, at the line of scrimmage, and he likes to call audibles a lot, so he could see that. And I think the key is it's going to be the Berwick's offense against Middletown's defense, particularly if you want to subdivide it, the defensive line against the offensive line and the secondary.
Middletown coaches have had two opportunities to watch Berwick play in person the last couple weeks, and they put out a scouting report to all the Middletown players before each game at the beginning of the week. This one was 10 pages long with formations, with information, offense, defense, and a whole new series of plays that they will use against the Berwick Bulldogs. I'm sure likewise for Berwick. But again, the two big points about the offenses here, Middletown runs a Delaware wing T, which Berwick has not seen, and Berwick uses so many different formations, and that's something that Middletown has got to know. And when you talk about defense, Coach Etze always has his team prepared defensively, and they are going to have to do a lot of reading in this game.
Well, certainly, I was looking at a couple of these formations, and a lot of them, there's only five guys on the line of scrimmage for Berwick, so that gives Middletown a good chance for pressure. Also, Berwick's favorite formation is a formation called the double flanker spread. They have a lone setback, a split to the left, and a double wide to the right. And strangely enough, you think it's a passing formation, but no. In the games that they have seen, Berwick, 46 runs and 20 passes, so maybe Middletown luckily could pick that up. They could expect the run and probably stop the run up the middle or sweeps to the right. Also, I was looking at plays by Berwick. They like to run the ball to the right and up the middle a lot.
As we mentioned again, we are sitting on the Berwick side. And again, their fans, a few thousand strong, Middletown with a couple thousand strong. You know, so many times this season, Andy, when we have the Middletown defense going against the offensive team and a good quarterback for that offensive team, you usually see that it's either Souders or Dale Moore that gets the main stunning job for the quarterback. I don't know what Middletown Dennis Etze has up his sleeve for this game as far as who's going to get the main job of covering Kirchner.
Well, it seems like it would be Souders coming off that strong game last week, but you never can tell. Of course, the one game I can remember with Dale Moore was Steele High game on Lynn Jones, he got a lot of good pressure. As a matter of fact, I think he was our WMSS MVP of that game. So we'll just have to wait and see.
The Middletown fans and the Berwick fans are getting a little restless, mainly because this game is being televised live by a Scranton TV station, and they are holding up for TV time. Todd Brubaker just made the point down the field that they're taking the wind and the steam out of these kids by holding them off. The adrenaline's really flowing, and they want to get them going.
Yeah, that's something I was afraid of, John. I went to the Penn State Pitt game a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing. I hadn't been to a college game for so long, and I didn't really notice it when I went before. But I went to this game. It seemed like as soon as somebody would get something going, TV takes a timeout. They lose all their momentum. I hope that doesn't happen for Middletown. And, like, we can hear Todd talking. He's saying about Middletown losing. They have the adrenaline pump, and they could be losing it. But certainly, I'm sure once they get on that football field, they'll get going.
Well, when this game starts, I'm sure the action is going to be nonstop then. Of course, we will probably have a few TV timeouts here. The other games going on this afternoon include the 4A championship with Cedar Cliff against Neshaminy. We will hopefully have updated scores of that. And the other AAA game is at Sharon High School out in western Pennsylvania, featuring Aliquippa against Bradford. The winner of that game will face the winner of this game. And, of course, the speculation all season long, Andy Hoover, has been on Aliquippa.
Yes, certainly it has been. They're considered the best team in the state in any class. They got a lot of good players. They have one particular linebacker. I'm not sure of his name, but he is huge. I know that, and he's being recruited.
Sean Gilbert, I believe it
Gilbert.
Is.
Gilbert.
And
there
he is. 6'6", I believe.
I don't know. It's not in the program, his weight and height, but he is being recruited by a lot of big schools and a couple of Berwick players also. But Aliquippa, I know there's going to be updated scores from the PA announcer, so you might want to be listening for that as they play Bradford. And wouldn't it be interesting if Bradford would upset Aliquippa?
We will definitely be paying close attention to that and make sure that we update all of our listeners on that. Again, the fans still getting restless. And we are getting set now. We have the TV announcers to our left, and downstairs we've got two other radio divisions, Middletown and Berwick. Again, the wind continues to gust here. It is a chilly afternoon, but the sun is shining. And now the captains will go to midfield, and Todd Brubaker is out there with the wireless microphone. And we will now go out to the middle of the field with the coin toss information from the official.
Okay, step back a little, guys. Again, to refresh your memory, my name is Mr. Winter. I'll be the referee for today's game. Mr. Pergine will be your umpire. Game clock is official. Middletown's a visiting team. Berwick is the home team. Okay, we're going to reenact it. You call the okay, Berwick, you would like to defend this goal. You put your back up here, please. You put your back down here.
Middletown.
Okay, back to you, John.
Will receive. Middletown will receive. And Berwick will be kicking off, and now both sides are getting excited. Berwick is all on their on one knee at the 50-yard line. They're leaning over for just a quick moment of silent meditation. Middletown is lined up out on the field and getting ready to receive. The Blue Raiders are wearing the white jerseys with the blue and gold trim, the gold pants with the blue and white trim. The Berwick Bulldogs are wearing the dark blue jerseys with the light blue and white trim, and they're wearing the white pants with the dark blue trim. Of course, last week, Scott Eberle on a 90-yard kickoff return. He is deep, standing around the 3-yard line as Mike Dagan and Chad Durr are standing around the 10. Mike Boupain is the kicker. And the Berwick Bulldogs will be kicking from right to left, 91.1 on your FM dial. And there it is, end over end, taken by Durr at the 18, up to the 25, to the 30. Big hole, up to the 35, and taken down at the 42. Chad Durr got a nice wedge once again right up the middle. And the Raiders will bring it out on offense.
Well, I could keep bringing the kickoff short prior, trying to keep it away from Eberle.
Berwick's offense this season, running different formations, a 5-2 as they start here, Middletown. Backs are in the eye, wing near side. Durr, they give to Eberle, off right tackle, gets hit the line of scrimmage. He maybe only got about a half yard on the forward progress, and it will bring up a second and 10 for the Middletown Blue Raiders.
Looks like Mike Zuby and Scott Sellers were trying to get some defensive linemen there, and the linebackers just came in free. Nobody to block them, able to take Eberle down.
We got mentioned that Tad Schultz broke his hand this week, and he is in there right now. That right hand has a humongous soft cast on it, and he is playing. Middletown, back split, wing near side in motion is Dagan. They give Souders off left tackle, runs into one man, spins off another, and picks up about 3 yards on the carry to the left side. And that initial hit wasn't enough to stop him, but it did slow him down. It will bring up a third down and 7 for the Raiders as the football gets on the Raiders' own 46.
Just good determination by Souders. He got hit. I thought he was going to go down, but he able to stay on his feet. Picks up 3 from Middletown, brings up 3rd and 7.
Middletown's line consisting of Jason Warren at center, Klauser and Strohecker at guard, and Moore and Schultz at tackle. Back split in motion to the near side is Dagan. Chad Durr back to pass, and meanwhile penalty flags are thrown. And we've got illegal procedure against Middletown, and it occurred on the line, most likely. So they will mark it back offsides against Middletown. Take it back 5. It will bring up a 3rd and 11 with the football on the 41. Again, Keating is split to the near side. It's a wing right and left, and Souders is a single set back. In motion from far side to the near side is Mike Dagan. Chad Durr, long count. He's straight back to pass. He's got some time. Now he's under pressure. Steps up, throws across the middle, and it's underthrown and incomplete. Pass was intended for Keating, but it was almost picked off as diving for it from the defensive secondary was Gene Silvers.
Durr was on his way down, and it looks like he didn't. It looks like he just got a little bit of a push, but the field there right in the middle is full of dirt. Easy to slip, and he couldn't quite get the ball to Keating.
This is a game where I think it's going to go 4 quarters, and which team will outlast the other. Hamilton will be standing at his own 27 to punt it away. High snap. He's got good time. This one's going into the wind, and you can tell it as it bounces all over the place now and takes a Middletown bounce down to the 30. But he has to keep them low, and you can see that one swerving all over the place. And Berwick will start at their own 30-yard line.
Well, that could be good, though, because it keeps kick returner Lance Avina, who is an excellent punt returner for Berwick, keeps the ball away from him and can't break one.
A 29-yard punt for Hamilton. And Berwick led by quarterback Jake Kelchner. And behind him will be Charlie Lynn and Dan Frank. They line up in a power eye to the left. Now they switch formations in the backfield, and Middletown jumped offsides.
I think it was junior Brian Boyd jumping off for Middletown.
Well, what it was the formation they were using, the whole backfield changed after they lined up, and boy, did that shock Middletown. And that's something that Berwick's going to use to its advantage, because Middletown likes trying to read the offense and what they're going to do and when they're going to do it so they can stunt and quickly get in. And if Berwick can keep them tentative so they don't jump offside, that's going to benefit the Bulldogs. It's a first and five now for Berwick with a football on their own 35. Again, they switch in the backfield with a single setback. Wide far side, slot near side, and they give a straight up the middle and a big haul. And picking up the first down is Dave Force as he gets out across to about the 44 and a first down for Berwick.
Looks like Middletown had a shot at Force in the right around the line of scrimmage, but he was just able to break through. Big fullback for Berwick.
Again, Berwick will use so many wide receivers in this game, many times just a single setback. And this time they have wide on the far side with Avina. Again, another formation change, a single setback, and they got a slot to the near side. Keltzner, he's going to option, comes to the near side, and he's stacked up at the line. He's going to gain only about 2 yards on the play before Strohecker stops him in there with Zuby.
I've seen Keltzner before, John. I noticed that he likes to run the ball to the right a lot, I believe. That time running it to the left, but he isn't really that fast. I don't understand why he likes to run a lot. I think it would be better if he just go back in the pocket and try to pass.
It's a gain of about 3, second and 7. Berwick with the football on their own 47. Backs are split. Wide near side, now they move again, and they come with a trips formation to the near side. And a wing to the near side. Keltzner back to pass, looking, throws across the middle and overthrows the intended receiver. Incomplete pass. Middletown covering very well that time, because there were four men that he could have passed to on the near side. He had a man on the far side. They will use five receivers on many plays.
Keltzner had a good protection from his offensive line. Middletown, just being frustrated, couldn't quite get in there. 3rd and 7 for the Bulldogs.
It will bring up a 3rd and 8 for Berwick. Avina and Frank will go slot to the right with a split to the near side. Now in motion goes Silvers to the far side, and Keltzner back to pass. He's looking. He's under pressure. He throws across the middle, and it's complete for a first down. We've got a penalty flag thrown, and that's because Brian Biesecker, with the interference, he made contact just before the pass was complete.
Mike Zuby had a shot at Custer, couldn't quite get there in time, and he was able to get off the pass.
It'll give Berwick a first down, and they'll spot the ball in the Middletown 43. And we're waiting for how the officials plan to mark it off. Officials will mark it all the way down to the 38. First and 10 for Berwick. The Bulldogs have a split backfield with a wing on the inside to the right side. Keltzner gives, coming to the left side, hit once and twice on the near side, stacked at the line of scrimmage, and picking up no gain on the carry was Dan Frank, the 1,000-yard rusher for the Bulldogs.
Real good job by Mike Dagan coming out of the secondary and able to come in and make the tackle.
7-11 here in the first quarter. No score, Middletown and Berwick. We are on the Berwick side of the field. 2nd and 10 for the Bulldogs. Silvers is split to the right. Now he will move into a slot formation with a single setback. Kelsner back to pass. It's a give right up the middle and a big hole. Running to the near side as Frank cuts down to the 25, to the 20, to 15, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 9-yard line.
No, he went out of bounds at the 17-yard line, so it's going to be back 6 yards from the original where they actually thought he went.
They mark it back to the 18. You're absolutely correct. But on that play, it was kind of a draw play, somewhat of just a delay. He stayed in the back, and then the quarterback, Kelchner, gave it to him. Middletown coach Dennis Etche calls timeout, wants to talk with the defensive unit, so we'll take one as well. 6:41 remaining first quarter. No score, Middletown and Berwick. You're listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Smitty's Restaurant of downtown Middletown says good luck to the Blue Raiders. Smitty's Restaurant has homemade cooking ranging from seafood to steak, from pasta to dessert. They even have daily specials, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's Smitty's Restaurant at the corner of South Union and Ann Streets in Middletown.
Welcome back, Bethlehem Liberty High School, east of Allentown. John Wilsbach, Andy Hoover, Steve Leedy, and Todd Brubaker. Our engineer this afternoon, John Cooper, here on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Middletown and Berwick are scoreless, but the Bulldogs are making a steady, consistent drive here. And Middletown making a few mistakes. Now, the mistakes, some penalties, and of course, this last time, the secondary covering all the wide receivers, and the lone man in the backfield was Dan Frank, and he took a somewhat of a long delayed draw and then took it right to the near side. Picked up a lot of yards, first down, and they have the football on the Middletown 18. Dennis Etche talking to the team in the defensive huddle and wants to sew up some of these holes. Moore and Boyd are defensively on the interior line with Strohecker. They give us up the middle, and hit at the line of scrimmage is Dave Force as he dives forward for a gain of about 3 yards. It will bring up a 2nd and 7 for Berwick.
Good job by Souders, Biesacker, and Boyd all getting pressure on Force and able to bring him down. Interesting Middletown here. They got to stop Berwick, keep him out of the end zone.
Biesacker, Souders, Zimmerman in that linebacker core for Middletown. Zuby left end. Slot to the right. Back to pack. Kelchner. He's looking. He's going for the left corner and overthrows the intended receiver. In fact, it went out into the end zone. He was looking in the far left corner of Lance Avina, and Avina with a slant into the right, and then with a nice little pivot, slanted back in the left corner of the end zone. It will bring up a 3rd and 7 on the Middletown 15. And of course, we might have to mention that Berwick right now has the football, or rather has the wind to its back, and the pass plays are going to be working quite well right now. And of course, we saw that overthrow there, and maybe the ball is sailing a little bit. A 3rd and 7 on the Middletown 15. Berwick will go with a split formation in the backfield. Split end to the near side and a wide to the right side. Kelchner back to pass. He's looking. Throws to the near side. It's complete. A fumble on the play. The ball's loose around the 12-yard line. And Berwick falls on it, but it will bring up a 4th down. It would have been a 1st down. It would have been a 1st down. But the reception made by Wunischek, he fumbled the football. Right when he got caught it, he got hit. The ball flew back. And then falling on it was, Dan Frank. And Frank fell on it around the 13. So it brings up a 4th and 5 on the 13-yard line. And Berwick will go for a field goal with the wind to their back.
Hamilton made the hit there. And Brian Biesek got a shot at the fumble, but he stumbled at the 10-yard line. And he couldn't quite get to it.
Tom Kinsey going for the field goal. This one will be of 30 yards on the near side hash mark. Ball is lined up. Long count. The snap, the hold, the kick is going, and it's good. We'll take a break from the action. 4:56 remaining. First quarter, Berwick 3, Middletown nothing on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Mansion House of 485 South Union Street in Middletown is happy to sponsor Blue Raider football. The Mansion House has all-you-can-eat steak night on Mondays, and their crab cakes are made fresh daily. Dinners include salad and vegetables. That's the Mansion House of 485 South Union Street in Middletown.
.56 remaining, first quarter, a 30-yard field goal by Tom Kinsey, and the Bulldogs are on the board first, 3-0 here in the Eastern Championship game. I don't know, Andy Hoover, it's been a long time since the opposing team scored first in a game on Middletown this season. I don't remember if anybody did. Nobody? I kind of thought McDevitt might have, but then again, I think Middletown dominated that game. So there's the kickoff, and it's taken at the 17 by Durr out to the 25, cutting to the near side, hit at the 30, spins off another man at the 35, and then take it down to the 37. And let's talk about this field, if we could, very briefly. The center of this field from the 30 all the way back down to the other 30 is practically dirt from the far hash mark to the near hash mark. A very poor field, indeed, if I ever saw one, as far as the playing surface.
Certainly, I think three high school teams play on this field, and a couple of soccer teams and field hockey, so it really gets a lot of work.
First and 10 for Middletown, the football on her own 37. Backs are split. They give up the middle, Souders, and he stopped right at the line of scrimmage by a few Berwick players, and a nice defensive play on the belly dive. He'll lose about a half yard on it. We'll call it second. Now we'll keep it at the line of scrimmage. Second and 10.
Tackle made by Dwayne Koch, a linebacker. He's just a junior for Berwick. That's a lot, something we haven't seen much this season. Souders getting hit at the line of scrimmage and being stopped.
Second and 10 for Middletown. Back split, wing near side. Split to the left side. Play action. Durr back to pass. Has time. Now he's going to be hit. And oh, he's clotheslined at the 33. He got clotheslined down hard. It's a loss of about 5 yards. Let's go down on the field to somebody who saw that a little bit closer. Todd Brubaker.
Okay, right now Middletown trying to start their second drive, and Chad Durr has every chance in the world to run the ball instead of throw. So we'll see if he does it a little later in the game. Back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd. Middletown now has a 3rd and 15. Backs are split. They give us to Eberle, and Eberle's hit in the backfield at the line of scrimmage. He tried cutting off right tackle, and the Berwick defense is holding strong. It will bring up a 4th down, and the punting unit comes in with 3:14 remaining in the first quarter, and Berwick leading 3-0.
That's something we noticed before. Berwick hits hard on the defense. Their defense is doing an excellent job against Middletown thus far.
Hamilton standing at his own 20-yard line. Snap, pressure coming in. It's partially deflected, but the ball still going downfield. Bounces at the 40, up to the 45, and at the 47. Hamilton's punt is partially blocked, but he's still got at least enough on it to get it forward.
A high snap by Jason Warren. Each of the last two times, Hamilton barely able to get the last one off. He didn't get this one off, although it did go downfield. Berwick starts off in Middletown territory.
The Bulldogs in outstanding territory as they have it on the 48. The Middletown 48. Bulldogs lead at 3-0. 2:27 remaining. First quarter, 3-0. Backs are split. Now they change formations and go to a slot to the right and a single setback. Keltzner looking. Throws across the middle, and it's complete or incomplete? It's complete. And a nice slant-in catch on the part of Lance Avina as he picks up the first down at the 34.
Great job by Kelcher. He just pinpointed that ball right in there. Mike Dagan and Troy Hamilton both around Avina, and he just got it right in there. Good catch.
Silvers will go split to the right. Avina is split to the near side. Now they change formations, and it's a slot to the right. Kelchner back to pass. He's got plenty of time. He's looking. He's throwing deep in the end zone. He has a man diving. It's just incomplete out of the reach of the diving Lance Avina, who had about two steps on Troy Hamilton and Mike Dagan.
Middletown almost had some pressure. Greg Zimmerman had a shot at Kelcher, but right when he's about to get to him, he got a block, and Kelcher just had all kinds of time to throw that thing up there. Incomplete, though. Second down for Berwick.
Strange situation for Middletown, having the other team playing in its own good field position and leading early. Haven't faced that. We'll see if they're... They've got enough adversity. It's a second and 10. Kelchner on the draw in the backfield. He is sacked in the backfield on the give. Dan Frank running to the near side. Gets tripped up in the backfield.
Nobody picked up Scott Strohacker, and he just came in barreling in and hit the runner. And a good loss from that could get Middletown going now. It brings up a third and long for Berwick.
It's that delayed draw on the backfield and a run to the outside, and that's one of the adjustments I'm sure Etsy has already made by having the defensive ends, Zuby and Strohacker, make sure they cover on that type of a play. It's a loss of about six. Third and 16, Berwick with the football in the Middletown 40. In motion to the far side is Joe Kelchner. Jake Kelchner back to pass, throws down the right side, and it's overthrown over the head of Lance Avina. It will bring up a fourth down, and Middletown's defense holds up strong. 55 seconds remaining first quarter. 3-0 Berwick, and the punting unit comes in.
Good job by Scott Everly staying right on Avina. Forced Kelchner to throw it a little beyond Avina. Just couldn't quite get it to him. Middletown now forced them to punt.
And during the punting will be Joe Kelchner, the brother of Jake Kelchner, the quarterback. Joe Kelchner will be standing at his own 48. Everly and Dagan back deep to receive for Middletown. Low snap. Joe Kelchner gets the win behind him. Everly's going to take it at the 2 and runs right into Berwick players up to the 5, and that's where he's down. I kind of think he should have let it go and go into the end zone so they could start out on the 20, but instead he decided to run it back.
I was thinking he might call a fair catch, but... Because I saw a couple Berwick players coming down, but I think he decided it was a little too deep to call for that. Probably would have been a better idea to just let the ball bounce.
Yeah, he took it on the 2, and you never know if it's going to bounce back. But Middletown has 1st and 10 with the football on its own 6-yard line. Backs are split wing to the near side. Durr, they give up the middle, and Souders is stacked up hard at the line of scrimmage. And it's no gain on the carry. It will bring up a 2nd and 10, and the wind is still blowing hard. And Todd Brubaker's down on the field, and let's go down to him about the situation.
The wind has been playing a major factor in today's football game so far. Middletown has been driving into it in the first quarter with the first quarter almost over. Maybe they'll be able to open up in the second quarter and try to get some points on the board. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Todd. 2nd and 10 for Middletown. Backs are split. And now we've got the end of the first quarter of play, so we'll take a break from the action. After one quarter, it's Berwick 3, Middletown nothing. You're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
When people work as one, there's no limit to the great things that can be accomplished in our community, in our industry, and in our art. We applaud your dedication and achievement. Congratulations on a great season, Blue Raiders.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
Welcome back. Bethlehem Liberty High School Football Stadium. John Wolfsbach, Andy Hoover, Steve Leedy, and Todd Brubaker on the field with a wireless microphone. And Berwick leading Middletown 3-0 this afternoon here east of Allentown. Of course, we have to mention today's game will be tape delay on WKBO 1230 AM. Second and 10 for Middletown. They have the football on their own 6-yard line. Backs are split, Souders and Eberle. So far, Souders in the backfield has not been a factor. Digging his wing, split to the right side. Chad Durr, they give to Souders, trying to cut off right at, and he's stacked up hard at the line of scrimmage by Dave Force. And it's going to be a loss of a few yards.
Well, it's certainly obvious by now, Berwick was ready for Souders. They've probably been watching him a lot. They have done an excellent job stopping him on those runs.
Zuby checking in now for Middletown at the tight end position. Keating will go out. This time the Raiders will go on a power eye to the right. Ends are in tight. They've got to get a little field position. They give on the near side to Eberle on the end around out to the 5 and out to the 10, and that's where he's going to be tackled, picking up about 5, but he's going to be shy of about 7 of the first, and the punting unit will come in for Middletown. Luckily, the wind is at their back, so they can get off a hopefully a half-decent punt. The last one, of course, was partially deflected, and Hamilton will do the chores on this. Hamilton standing about midway point of the end zone. High snap again, no problem, gets it away. Wobbly punt's going to bounce at the 45 down to the 50. Taken at the 45, and Kelchner's running it back on the far side. Eludes one man, eludes another to the 45, and he gets tackled at the Middletown 45.
Good job by Kelchner. Fake with the moves there. Mark Wazleski had a shot at him, but he just put on a couple moves, and Wazleski was just left standing there. Could give a good return, and they're going to start Middletown territory again, second straight possession.
It is a first and 10 for Berwick. They have been in Middletown territory most of this game. 10:25 remaining second quarter, 3-0 Berwick. This time the Bulldogs come out with a wide to the near side. Now they will go in a trips formation. Three men wide to the near side and a single setback. Kelchner on the option. He's running to the near side. He can't find anything. Souders gets a hit on him. Then Zuby, and finally four Middletown players step in, including John Moore and Ernie Foltz and Scott Strohecker.
There's Kelchner running again. Doesn't have a lot of speed. I believe he has gained 500 yards this year, but he stopped again.
It is a loss of 3. It will bring up a second and 13 for the Bulldogs with the football at the 47. Wide to the left. Split to the near side. Now they go in a slot to the left. Force is a single setback. Back to pass. Kelchner looking. He steps up and he's sacked in the backfield. He's stacked up back at the 48, and Zimmerman came in along with Strohecker, and they took him down.
That was just due to happen sometime. Greg Zimmerman has got good pressure both on runs and on passes, and that time he just took him down. Well, that's a big loss for Berwick. They're going to be about third and 20, I'd say.
And credit Middletown secondary that time, because they had every receiver covered very well. And Kelchner was left standing back there looking. He stepped up in the pocket and finally took the hit. It brings up a long third and 18 from their own 48. Berwick, wing right and left, single setback, moving from the backfield, and a play action. Kelchner, he's under pressure. He'll lose one defender, gets hit from another, and finally taken down at the 40. He is hard to take down, but Zuby finally got him down.
Mike Zuby, excellent job. He just grabbed a hold of his ankles and just held on for dear life. Maybe Middletown can finally get going. Two straight sacks.
So the Middletown defense starting to make some waves as we've seen this season, and they have got to leave their impact on this game because we've got four quarters total right now. We've got 8:14 remaining in the second and 3-0 Berwick. Keltner will punt from his own 28. Little pressure, gets this one away. It's going into the wind. It takes a bounce at the 30. Middletown's going to let it go, and it bounces down to about the 28. So that's where the Raiders will start, first and 10 on their own 28. 3-0 Berwick leading Middletown. Like to mention some of our sponsors in this afternoon's game. Bob Lowe down at Smitty's Restaurant. We'd like to thank Smitty's Restaurants and Bob. Bob, of course, sponsored this whole season, Blue Raider football, and we certainly thank them for all of their help and support on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Also, Middletown Lumber Company and the Caustic guys. And they're the young guys, they're no longer young. We can't call them the young guys, but the Caustic guys. And a new commercial they have out, you may want to check it out. First, you saw the one that they did, the country western type. Now they're in jail. So Eddie Caustic and the Caustic guys in jail. New commercial looks good, Middletown Lumber Company. We welcome along those two. And, of course, we'll recognize more throughout this game. And our thanks to all of the sponsors on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Hey, John, I don't think they should take TV timeouts in high school football. Middletown, they just got three straight sacks on three plays from Berwick, three sacks. They got some momentum going. They have to stop. That's the first one in the middle of the game I think we've taken, too.
Yeah, you really got to wonder if this is going to take away any momentum from any team when that happens. And we just won't know until the outcome of this game. It's a first and 10 Middletown with the football on their own. 28 going from right to left. Wing right and left single setback, Eberle in motion, play action. Durr's going to keep it, steps up in the pocket, and he's hit from behind, and he's going to lose about a yard on the play.
Good job by Jason Slusser, a junior for Brewer. He just got in there and wrapped Durr up and took him down. Only a two-yard loss this, they get 12.
Remaining second quarter, 3-0 Berwick leading Middletown. And the Raiders break out with a second and 11. Backs are split, Souders and Eberle. They give to Eberle. Running around the right side, and he gets crunched back at the original line of scrimmage. He gets back to the 28, and it will bring up a third and 10 for Middletown. A wind continuing to blow. It is at Middletown's back. And Souders and Eberle break out of the huddle. They will be split once again. The Raiders will come out in the slot to the right. Now Dagan comes in motion from that far side to the near side. Durr, play action. Looking. He has Kleinfelder complete for a first down at the 40. Elusive defender and taken down from behind at the 44. Todd Kleinfelder on the buttonhook. Down, stop, turn, and he had it.
John, Chad Durr would have the ability to throw across his body. Mike Dagan would have been gone for a touchdown. He was wide open on the left side. There wasn't a guy within 15 yards. He would have been long gone. Still, Middletown picks up the first down. They got a good drive going.
They're going to mark the ball on the 43, and the Raiders on that play have probably moved the football the most all day. A wing right and left in the single setback is Souders, and a split to the near side is Keating. In motion is Dagan. They give to Dagan. As he does the end around, cuts off left down, and he gets stacked up and picked up at the line of scrimmage, and he only gets back to the 43, so it will bring up a second and 10 for Middletown. They're going to give him a couple inches on the forward progress as the clock continues to count. 5:45, second quarter, 3-0 Berwick leading Middletown on the Blue Raiders Sports Network. And now Kleinfelder runs the play in. Todd Kleinfelder will go split to the right side as Dagan takes a slot and backs are split. Chad Durr, play action. He's rolling left. Little flare out pass. Everybody catches it at the 45 to the 50. Makes a move at the 45 to the 40 to the 35, 30, 25, 20. He has another man to beat to the 10 and out of bounds at the 8-yard line. Scott Everly was smooth and moving down the field, and it's a first down for Middletown in scoring position.
Mike Zuby at the Berwick 45-yard line put a block on it, just knocked Berwick right off of Everly's feet. He was gone. 8-yard line. Credit Lance Avina with 6 points. He stopped Everly from going in. 47-yard pass play on just a flare pass.
And Everly caught that one with the left hand. Yeah, the defender behind him, the ball was thrown over his head, and he just sucked it down and took off and did some nice, fancy footwork. First and goal to go on the Berwick 9. A full house backfield now for Middletown. The give, Souders off left tackle, and he gets barreled down to about the 6 or 7. It's going to be a gain of a few. They run that full house backfield with three men standing side by side.
Tad Soltis,
yes, Soltis going off the field. He is playing with a broken right hand. It is in a humongous soft cast, and I believe that Robbie Boyd has come in to spot for him. So Robbie Boyd checks in, the 285-pound senior. Middletown on a second and goal to go on the 6. A full house backfield once again in motion is Everly. Option, Durr, he's going to keep. Pitches out to Everly at the 5, cuts down to the 4. And it's a gain of 2. Durr held off as long as he could, Andy, and finally gave that pitch to Everly, who, you know, able to pick up those extra 2 yards.
A lot of times when Everly has been running either the sweep or on that play the option, they have not been able to have anybody out there blocking for him right there, 2 or 3 Berwick players right on him. He did gain about 2 yards, third and goal at the 4-yard line for Middletown.
Middletown calls timeout. I mean, you got 4.5, so they're going to take it and rest these guys up a little bit. Take timeout, 4:18 remaining second quarter. Berwick 3, Middletown nothing on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Middletown Lumber Company proudly salutes the Blue Raiders. Middletown Lumber does custom millwork. They stock 45 different species of domestic and imported hardwood. They're the headquarters for cedar and redwoods. Middletown Lumber also specializes in hard-to-find items. That's Middletown Lumber Company at Brown and Clinton Streets in Middletown.
Welcome back at Lehem Liberty Football Stadium. Middletown with a third and goal to go on the Berwick 4. It's practically on the 5, in between the 4 and the 5, but we'll call it the 4. And the Raiders calling timeout to talk about what they want to do, because certainly it is a crucial third down for the Raiders. And the Middletown fans on the far sideline certainly motivated after Scott Everly on that 46-yard pass reception. Now the Berwick crowd making some noise for their defense to hold strong, and their defensive line has held strong so far in this game, stopping Middletown's running attack up the middle. 4:18 remaining second quarter, 3-0 Berwick, and Middletown is still taking some time as they await for the TV timeout. We mentioned Rob Boyd checking in for Tad Soltis. And Robbie Boyd from Middletown, 6'4", 285 pounds, and the Raiders come out. They have a third and goal to go on the Berwick 4. Backs are split, Souders and Everly, wing to the right side, Dagan. Durr, play action, he's rolling to the near side. He's got a lot of room. Now he throws complete to Souders, touchdown Middletown. Scott Souders going right into the middle of the end zone, wide open, and the Raiders lead at 6-3.
What a job by Durr rolling out. He almost, a couple of blocks helped save him. He had a couple of players on him, but he just pinpointed right into Souders. He was practically wide open. It was a crowded end zone, but nobody was covering him. Touchdown Middletown. They take the 6-3 lead.
Kleinfelder with the extra point kick, and it is blocked. Clyde Kleinfelder, who has had problems making the extra point kick, has this one blocked. Let's go down on the field right now to Todd Brubaker.
Middletown on its first drive of the second quarter with the wind at its back, opening up the offense, and a little flare pass to Scott Everly for 47 yards, and Scott Souter's six-yard touchdown catch put Middletown ahead 6-3. Back to you, John.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd Brubaker. And man, I'll tell you, Todd, or rather, Brad Kleinfelder has had one rough season. It is 6-3, Middletown leading. And I don't know what it is. You know, we talked about it. He came back from that injury and missed three field goals in the game against Redland, and then had a few great games there where he was hitting almost every one. There was a few games where he missed one extra point, but for the most part, making those extra point kicks. And of course, we get there in the against Juniata, and the last game, and Kleinfelder has to make those now in these crucial games, and this last one was blocked. Kleinfelder kicks off, though, on a nice end-over-end kick, and it's going to be taken at the 10, and Kirchner up to the 15 to the 20, spins at the 25, and then finally taken down at the 28-yard line, and that's where the Bulldogs will start. Andy, we watched the tape last night of Berwick against Shamokin, and we were making the comments that Shamokin didn't know how to how to tackle, because Berwick just kept running, eluding tackles, and maybe we just didn't give enough credit to Berwick to withstand that tackling attempt.
I remember one punt return, Avena returned it for a touchdown. He evaded six tacklers, and they were all within a certain area, so maybe Berwick is better than we thought.
Bulldogs first and 10 on their own 29, and now we've got an offsides. And it looked like the Middletown defense did the jumping.
Looks like Mike Zuby and John Moore jump.
And it is John Moore jumping offside. Brings up a first and 5 for the Bulldogs. 3:30 remaining in the first half. They give off left side to Frank, cutting the outside. He's hit and tackled. And a beautiful read that time coming from the defensive secondary by Mike Dagan.
Dagan just left his receiver, came in and made the tackle at the line of scrimmage. Saved a couple of yards. Second and 5 for Berwick.
Frank was going on the sweep to the left side. Now checking in is Joe Kelchner, who has been used as a wide receiver. It's a second and 5. Berwick with the football on their own 35. Single setback is almost in a wing to the near side. Now in motion is Kelchner. The quarterback is Jake Kelchner with a man wide to the near side, and he's going to throw to him, and it's incomplete. As trying to catch the football on the near side was Avena, and it just out of his reach, he barely got the fingertips on it, and it will bring up a 3rd and 5 for the Bulldogs.
Scott Everly just gave Avena too much of a cushion, and Avena just stopped, and he threw it to him, but just out of his reach.
3rd and 5, and the clock stopped at 2:45 in the second quarter, 6-3, Middletown leading Berwick. Avena is wide to the near side, a wing right and left. In motion is Kirchner. The quarterback is Jake Kirchner. He is back to pass. Looking. He throws on the near side and it is incomplete, and a penalty flag as Scott Everly pushed down Avena from behind. And I'll tell you, the pass wasn't close whatsoever to Avena, but the thing was, Everly still pushed him from behind, and the ball was close enough that they had to make that call.
It looked like Everly pushed him like at the split second before the ball got there, and Avena at that point had no chance, but that's going to bring him first down for Berwick.
It was a dumb play on the part of Everly, and that will move the ball all the way up to the 50-yard line. Everly had to surely see that the football was going to be out of the reach of Avena and thrown about 2 or 3 yards in front of him. And instead he decided to push him as the ball is hitting to that area. A 1st and 10 for Berwick at midfield. They have the single setback as Force. And a slot to the left. They give to Force off left tackle, and he's stacked up by Souders and spun around down to the 45, and it will bring up a 2nd and 5 for the Bulldogs.
Scott Souders was trying to tackle the ball there instead of the player, and Force broke the tackle. It got about 5 yards.
Clock counting at 2:15 remaining, second quarter, 6-3. Middletown leading Berwick. And the Bulldogs have 2nd and 5 on the Middletown 45. Avena is wide to the near side. Now he's in the slot as they go in a trips formation. They give, running to the left side. Dodging one hit and then stacked up and stopped was Charlie Lynn. He's going to be shy of a 1st down by about 3 yards. As the play looked to go to the near side, Lynn went to the far side. And again, we will mention many times throughout this game, the Bulldogs will use 1,000,000,000 different formations. This time they come out in a trips right and a split left in a single setback. They give right up the middle to Force, and he dives forward and picks up the 1st down across the 40 to the 39. And the clock continues to count at a minute 25 in the second quarter. Now it's stopped as they will have to move the markers for the 1st down. Berwick calls timeout, so we'll take one as well. 1:25 remaining, second quarter. Middletown, 6. Berwick 3, you're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
It's Christmas time at Martin's Touch of Class Tanning and Toning Center. This holiday, the gift to give is a gift certificate from Martin's. Receive a free bottle of tanning lotion with the purchase of a 10-session tanning gift certificate. Receive a free pair of sweatpants with the purchase of a 10-toning-session gift certificate. The perfect gift for Christmas is a gift certificate from Martin's Touch of Class Tanning and Toning Center at the Downtown Mini Mall in Middletown.
Rhodes Pharmacy of downtown Middletown congratulates the Blue Raiders on a great season. Rhodes has a complete line of Hallmark cards and gift items for Christmas. They also feature a full-line video department with the latest releases and no membership fee. Rhodes also has next-day photo service on Kodak film, and their fully computerized pharmaceutical department will serve you quickly. That's Rhodes Pharmacy of downtown Middletown.
Welcome back. It's a 1st and 10 for Berwick on the Middletown 39. The clock at a minute 25 remaining, second quarter. In motion to the near side is Kiltzner. Back to pass, throwing, and complete for a 1st down at the 25-yard line is Lance Avena. Avena and Kiltzner were both in the same area as Kiltzner came in motion. They get down to the 24, and they're going to be in the hurry-up offense. 1st and 10 for Berwick on the Middletown 24. They're going against the wind. Wide right and left. Single setback. Kelchner throws on the outside and knocked out of bounds on the near side. Around the 20-yard line is Lance Avena. He picks up about 4 yards on the reception.
There's nothing you can do about that play, but the play before, Scott Everly, he's been doing it quite a bit. He's been giving Avena too much of a cushion. Against a good pass receiver like Avena, you just can't do that. Got to just stick on him, and that just gives Avena a chance to run out about 5 or 10 yards, turn around, and catch a pass.
Of course, he went out of bounds on that sideline pass. Stopped the clock at a minute 5. It's a 2nd and 6 for Berwick on the Middletown 20. Wide right and left, single setback is Force. Kelchner back to pass, he's looking. He pump fakes, he throws in the end zone, it's tipped up and incomplete. Hamilton got a brief tip on it, And then Avena got a piece of the hand on it. And incomplete pass brings up a third and six. The wind is dying down just a wee bit here. And Todd Brubaker informs us that a field goal is not out of the question.
Just good job by Avena on that play. He turned around after going about 5 yards out, then spun back and faked Eberle out, went into the end zone. Luckily, Hamilton there to tip the pass.
Third and six for Berwick on the Middletown 20. In motion to the far side. Kelchner back to pass. They give straight up the middle. Jumping over one man as Frank spins off another. Picks up the first down to about the 13. And Dan Frank, on that delayed draw on the backfield, picks up the first and the clock down to 52 seconds remaining, second quarter. And Berwick has used its last timeout here in the first half. We're going to take a break from the action. 52 seconds remaining, second quarter. Middletown 6, Berwick 3. You're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Smitty's Restaurant of downtown Middletown says good luck to the Blue Raiders. Smitty's Restaurant has homemade cooking ranging from seafood to steak, from pasta to dessert. They even have daily specials, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's Smitty's Restaurant at the corner of South Union and Ann Streets in Middletown.
Okay, back at Bethlehem Liberty High School football stadium. 52 seconds remaining, second quarter, Middletown 6, Berwick 3. The Bulldogs are making a drive, and an updated score at halftime. Bradford, who has had about 3 weeks off, I guess, or has been waiting.
I think it's 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Bradford has been waiting for a while. They had their playoff spot sewn up. And right now they are getting destroyed by Aliquippa, 37-0 at the half. So Aliquippa well on its way to a state championship bid next week. It's a first and 10 for Berwick with a football on the Middletown 12. Slot to the left. Kelchner back to pass. Pump fake. He's looking. He's going to scramble. He's got some running room. Souter stops in front. He misses a tackle. He avoids another, and he's down at the one and touchdown. Kelchner with a touchdown.
I don't think he was in, John. It looked like when his knee went down, the ball was around the one-yard line. But a Middletown, they have not been able to get good pressure nevertheless. And that they had all kinds of time to get in there on him. They just couldn't do it.
Well, Kelchner scrambled to the near side, and there was nobody in front of him except Zuby, who was a little bit to the side of the play, and Souders. And Souders was standing around the four, and Kelchner did a nice little razzle-dazzle move, and Souders did not make the tackle. He fell down, and now the extra point kick by Kimsey. The snap, the hold, and the kick is up, and it's good. Timeout on the field, 40 seconds remaining, second quarter. And it's Berwick 10, Middletown 6. You're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
When people work as one, there's no limit to the great things that can be accomplished in our community, in our industry, and in our art. We applaud your dedication and achievement. Congratulations on a great season, Blue Raiders.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
Kelchner on a 12-yard quarterback keeper, and Berwick leading it 10-6 late here in the second quarter. And you can see what Scott Eberle's pass interference penalty did, because that pass was surely going to be incomplete, and Eberle pushed the man from behind, and that continued Berwick's quest for a touchdown, and they got it. Kicking, Berwick left to right, a low kick. It's going to be taken by Dagan at the 25, out to the 30, jumps over a man, out to the 35 and out of bounds at the 37 with 36 seconds remaining here at late in the second quarter.
Middletown wants to have a chance to win this game. That defense has got to play better than they are this first half. They've been, I think Berwick has been in Middletown territory all but one drive. They with a 10-6 lead. Surprisingly, it could be more.
First and 10 for the Raiders. The clock continues to count at 26 seconds. They give Souders off right tackle, and he just pushes his way up to about the 40. Middletown's going to be content to just keep the clock running and going at halftime and make probably a good many adjustments, but the Raiders will line up very quickly right now on offense. And we've got a legal motion, so if he caught it, it wouldn't have mattered anyhow. Illegal motion against Middletown. And somebody missed their man on that one. Berwick is going to take the penalty as they mark it back to the Raiders 35. It will bring up a second and 12 for Middletown. Raiders with the football on their own 35 in time for just one more play here in the second quarter. Keating wide to the right. Dagan is in the wing position and backs are split. In motion is Everly to the right side. Chad Durr straight back to pass. He's coming and sacked from behind. And running in untouched was Rollin Yohei. And that ends the first half of play. And the Raiders kicking from right to left on the Blue Raider Sports Network. And there's the whistle. Kleinfelder dogs up to the ball. Kick end over end. Long, and it's going to be taken by Avina at the 10, out of the 15 to the 20. It's going to cut to the far side, tackled from behind. Fumble on the play. Middletown falls on it at the 28-yard line. Chris Lupp tackled him from behind. He grabbed the ball. He just wrapped him up and ripped the ball right out of his hands. And Mark Wazileski on the fumble recovery. Oh, my, what a way to start the second half for Middletown. That could be a shock in the gut to Berwick and hopefully take some wind out of him. That arm tackling threw that ball loose, and Middletown has it. First and 10 on the Berwick 28. The Raiders in the full house backfield. 5-2 defense by Berwick. Chad Durr over center. In motion is Dagan. They get to Everly up the middle on a little guard trap, but didn't work much as Everly got back to the original line of scrimmage and then pushed back. It will bring up a second and 10 for Middletown.
That defensive line of Berwick's is just shut down the running game. I think they've shown they're not going to give anything up. I'd look for a pass on this play from Middletown.
Well, I'm surprised that Middletown continues to try going up the middle because Berwick has shut that off all game long. Go to the outside. That's been the strength. Everly gained a yard at second and 9. The give. Play action. Durr throwing, and he's just out of the reach on the far side of the field. Intended for Zuby. And it brings up a third and 9 for Middletown with the football marked on the Berwick 27.
Zuby was open for a while right before Durr threw the ball. As soon as Durr threw it, though, Berwick able to get a defender over and forced Durr to throw it a little to the outside.
Backs are split, Souders and Everly. Check that. Wing right and left to Souders is a single setback. And Dagan is now in motion to the far side. Play action, Durr back to pass, looks, throws across the middle, complete to Everly as he turns around, catches for a first down. He's down to the 10-yard line.
Great catch by Scott Everly. Bad pass by Durr, threw it behind him. Everly used that athletic ability of his and just turned around and caught the ball down at the 10-yard line.
Zuby was also wide open on that play. The pass thrown behind Everly, and he made a nice catch as he turned around for it. And it's a first and goal to go for Middletown. The ball is marked exactly on the 10. And the Raiders have a power eye to the right and a split to the near side with Kleinfelder. Chad Durr, and they give Everly on the end around. He's going to be stopped in the backfield and a loss of 2 yards. Great pursuit and penetration on the part of the Bulldogs.
It seems like no matter where Middletown runs, they're just going to get stuffed. Chris DePippa, one of the defenders in there to not help take Eberle down.
Jason Slusher on the tackle that time. And a 2nd and 12 for Middletown. I don't know. I think the Raiders should stick with the passing game. Wing right and left in the single setback. In motion to the near side is Dagan. Play action. Durr looks. Hits once. Steps over the pocket. He's going to run it. 10, 5, 2, 1. Touchdown. Chad Durr. Touchdown. Middletown's on top.
Durr saw the hole and he just took off. He had pressure. A couple of Berwick defenders had a shot at him around the 11-yard line. They couldn't get to him, and they just took off. Touchdown, Middletown. They lead 12-10.
Middletown will be kicking the extra point.
And it could be a crucial one, too, because the extra point would put Middletown ahead by 3, which means the field goal would only tie.
Brad Kleinfelder will attempt it again. The ball marked at the 10. There's the snap, the hold. Nope, Durr's going to keep it. He runs, and he's hit from behind and tackled. It was a fake play. I'm sure it was a fake play.
Steve Leedy was ready for that, and he said fake. And it looked like he was going to put it down right away, but he decided not to. It took off. Next point, no good.
I don't know. Todd Brubaker was down there. Let's go down to him.
The second extra point attempt by Brad Kleinfelder was also no good. This time, the hold and the snap appeared good, but I don't know if it was planned to throw it in the end zone. There was no receivers there. Middletown takes a 12-10 lead. That was a big turnover on the kickoff. Back to you.
Certainly was, and the reason I kind of think that play was set that way because Kleinfelder was back in the end zone. He went down into the line of scrimmage and across to the far side, and he was deep in the end zone when Durr was scrambling to the right side. That's just one of those that we probably won't know until we play, Monday morning quarterback. 9:49 remaining third quarter, Middletown 12, Berwick 10. The Raiders are kicking from right to left on the Blue Raider Sports Network. We welcome along WKBO on the network. Tape delay this afternoon. And we've still got TV timeout on the field, and the Middletown fans don't like that too much, I'll tell you. They want to keep the momentum going. And now Kleinfelder is kicking for the Raiders right to left. There's the kick, end over end, and Avina's going to take it at the 12 after the 15 up the far hash mark, and popped hard at the 25 and down at the 27.
You know, all season long, Mark Wazileski has been down. He's usually the first one down, but a lot of times he gets faked, but this time he got him in the legs and helped slow him down, then Chris Lupp made the tackle.
Chris Lupp, 2 critical special teams plays here in the second half. And now it's a 1st and 10 for Berwick. They trail by 2. And the Raiders' defense has to be smart. That defensive line of Zuby, Moore, Strohecker, and Brian Boyd. This time it's a slot formation to the near side and a single setback for Berwick. And a flag thrown on the play, and we might have it offsides against Middletown.
Middletown has been hurt by penalties all day long. This one would bring up a 1st and 5. Berwick would have 3 downs to get 5 yards.
I'll tell you, the score in the third quarter, Cedar Cliff leading Neshaminy 24-0. So the Colts look like they're on their way to a state championship. Zuby, that time offside for Middletown. And it brings up a 1st and 5 for Berwick. The penalties going against Middletown in this game. 1st and 5 for the Bulldogs. Backs are split wide to the near side. The quarterback is Jake Keltzner. They give straight up the middle. And a big haul and hit hard for a 1st down out to the 45 is the tailback, Dan Frank.
Good job by Ernie Folt saving Frank from taking the long run. He came over off of his receiver and slowed him down. A couple other Middletown defenders able to come over and help out on the tackle.
As we saw with that field goal, early in the first quarter for Berwick. It doesn't matter how many yards you give up to the opposing team as long as you keep them out of the end zone. And that's been the case in this game. It's a first and 10 for Berwick. Backs are split. Wide right and left. Now they go in a formation with a slot to the near side and a single setback. Kaltzner, the give off left tackle, and the fullback Charlie Lynn on the give, and he goes off left tackle for a gain of about two. It's a second and 8 as the Bulldogs penetrate up to their own 48. Eight minutes remaining, third quarter, Middletown 12, Berwick 10. Second and 8 for the Bulldogs. Wide to the left side is Silvers. Split to the near side is Avina. Kelchner, busted play. He's going to be hit in the backfield. Zimmerman, 1, 2, 3, he's done! Satters, Strohecker, look out!
Greg Zimmerman did a great job just holding him up. He almost got hit. It looked like he stumbled there right before he got to Kelchner, held him up, and Sowers and Strohecker finished him off.
It's going to be a loss all the way back to the 40-yard line, a loss of about 9. Check that, 8. It will bring up a third and 15 for the Bulldogs. They have the football on their own 40-yard line. Third and 15. Single setback. Wing to the near side is Joe Kelchner. Now he's in motion to the far side. Jake Kelchner back to pass, looking. Little flare out pass, near side. Complete and hit hard at the 44, and down is Kevin Woodeshek. And it brings up a fourth down for the Bulldogs. And the momentum is starting to pick up for the Raiders.
Lance Avina was open right around the first down marker. Mike Dagan on the coverage stumbled, but I guess Kelchner didn't see him. And brings up a fourth down for Berwick.
Middletown needs a good run back on this punt return. Dagan and Everly are standing back around the 25. And Joe Kelchner is standing at his own 33, and he's punting against the wind. Low snap, no pressure. Gets a low one away. It's going to bounce over the head of Dagan. Raiders are going to let it bounce all the way down to the 8-yard line.
Well, Dagan had no chance of catching that. It was right over his head. Poor field position. That hurt the Raiders in this game.
A 47-yard punt for Joe Kelchner. And what a bad decision that was. Guess he just didn't want to get hands on it the way that ball was swerving all over the place. Raiders again in poor field position. But it's 6-11 remaining third quarter, and Middletown leads 12-10. Running down the scoring, first quarter, a 30-yard field goal for Tom Kinsey. Berwick led it 3-0. Then Middletown late in the first quarter, and Chad Durr found Scott Satters on a 4-yard touchdown pass. The kick was blocked. It was 6-3. And then Berwick late in the second quarter, a 12-yard touchdown carry by quarterback Jake Kelchner. The kick was good. It was 10-6. And of course, Middletown going back on top here in the third quarter. Again, Middletown waiting to run the offense, but the TV timeout again holding up the play. And the Raiders will have a football. First and 10 on their own 8-yard line. And the backs are split. Souders and Everly. They give to Everly as he tries cutting off right hand. Breaks the tackle. Out of the 15 to the 17 and down around the 20-yard line. He's going to be close to a first down.
The only person he had to beat was Lance Avina. Avina just got his ankles and hit him. Everly kept going, but he stumbled. But first down, Middletown is starting to crawl out of that hole.
Yeah, on a nice play, too. I don't know, is that the first rushing first down for Middletown? I don't know, but by darn, on one play, There weren't too many of them, that's for sure. Baxter in the eye, and they give up the middle airball lane. He slowed up, waiting for some holes and blocking to open up, and he's down at the line of scrimmage, given forward progress of about 1 yard. It will bring up a second and 9 for Middletown as they put the football on their own 20-yard line. Seven, Aliquippa leading Bradford in the third quarter, we understand. Dagan in motion, play action, Durr, back to pass, looks, throws across the middle, complete to Everly at the 35 to the 40, first down, and he's tackled from behind the 44. Shot Everly.
Nobody picked up Everly coming out of the backfield, probably a linebacker's job. They only have two in that 5-2 defense. Big first down for Middletown.
And somebody is waking up, a Middletown offense now.
Chad Durr, 6 for 7, 104 yards on the day.
First and 10 for Middletown on their own 44, the Berwick side trying to get their defense sight. They give Souders off right end. He's hit once, twice, and stacked up at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play for Scott Souders. And it will bring up a second and 10 for Middletown. The passing game is doing it for Middletown this afternoon. And nobody has seen Scott Emily come out of the backfield much this season to get those passes, and that's something Coach Etsy has changed for today. In motion, Dagan. They give to Dagan on the end around. Cuts off left end to the 45. Cross midfield. Tackled from behind at the 47. And he's going to be about 2 yards shy of a first down. It brings up a 3rd and 2.
Excellent job by Chris Clouser. A lot of times on that left side, he just knocks guys off the ball carrier. Middletown just short. 3rd and 2.
Keating brings the play in. Out of the game goes Todd Kleinfelder. 3:43 remaining, third quarter, Middletown 12, Berwick 10. The backs are split. Souders and Emily. Dagan is winged to the right. Keating is split to the right. Chad Durr, they give. Emily cuts off right tackle, and he's stopped at the line of scrimmage, and a beautiful solo tackle on the part of Berwick's Joe Donnelly, who came in. And the Middletown punting unit comes in, so a critical 4th and 2, and the Raiders just couldn't really get it going on that last rushing play. The punting unit comes in, and Troy Hamilton wants to get a good punt away, definitely.
One thing Middletown has practiced this week, and it's in their playbook, a fake punt. Possibly, I don't know.
We shall see. As Hamilton stands back at his own 40, little pressure, a nice spiral, long punt. It's going to be taken at the 8. Avino out to the 10, to the 15. Avoids another blocker and taken down hard at the 12.
Good job by Jeff Ryan on the pursuit. A couple of Middletown players had shots at him, but Ryan making the tackle.
Let's go down on the field right now for Todd Brubaker and a comment on that last drive.
Middletown's last drive, the most important thing was established field position, and they did exactly that, moving the ball from their own 8 into Berwick territory where they had to give it up on downs. But Berwick starts this drive on their own 12-yard line with 2:38 to go in the third quarter. Back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd. 1st and 10 for Berwick on their own 12. Probably the worst field position they've seen this afternoon. Backs are splitting the wide to the left side. Keltner, the quarterback, long count, quick pitch. Now they give up the middle on the draw, and Frank runs it up the middle to about the 16. It's a gain of 4. I thought he gave a nice quick pitch fake to the left side and then the give up the middle to Dan Frank.
Center and the guard on the right side did an excellent job for Berwick. Just that opened up a nice hole for Frank, able to pick up 5 yards.
Clock counting under 2 minutes in the third quarter, and the Raiders leading it 12-10 over Berwick. The Bulldogs have it, 2nd and 6. On their own 16, backs are split. Wide to the left side. Keltner. On a counter in the backfield. Gives again to Frank. And boy, is he plastered hard by John Moore. He picked up a few, but Moore just practically pushed him back over and down around the 19. It will bring up a crucial third and about three for the Bulldogs, just inside their own 20.
Well, this running plays up the middle have worked so far in this drive for Berwick. We might see him again.
John Moore goes chugging off the field. Jason Warren steps in now at nose tackle. Third and three for Berwick. They go in a trips formation to the left side. Kelchner, they give it in hard! And back into that field, stopped hard as he tried going off left tackle. Brian Boyd came in along with a few other Raiders and flattened out the ball carry, and I couldn't see who it was.
Greg Zimmerman.
Dave Force on the carry.
Zimmerman made the first hit. He has gotten good pressure so far in this game. He's hit about 50% of the time, but Zimmerman just nailed him. Todd Rubick informed us Scott Sattler's limping right now. He's being checked by, looks like, Coach Etsy.
Looks like somebody might have stepped on his foot or something because he's taking it easy and he was walking around just a little bit. He's going to walk off on the field, under his own power, but he's just going to take it easy. And we'll be checking in with Todd Brubaker in just a couple moments about that. But again, some big, big line defense finally on the part of Middletown on that last play. It brings up a third and rather a fourth and three for Berwick. And they will punt from their own nine, and that is Joe Kelchner. Kelchner standing at his own nine. Middletown better be aware of the fake also. There's the snap. Kelchner, good time. A spiral into the wind, backing up. Dagan takes it at his own 46, running the far side. Tackled, spun at the 45. He pushes out to the 48 and out of bounds. How he ever dodged one man, able to push the other one up for a few yards. Great determination.
Troy Hamilton had a shot at blocking the one Berwick defender. Luckily, he did not take it because it may have been called a clip. He was a little bit behind him, and that was the defender, I believe, that took Mike Dagan down.
It's a first and 10 for Middletown. 8 seconds remaining third quarter, 12-10 Middletown leading it. The Raiders will have the football on their own 48. So the third quarter is soon coming to a close. And Middletown will have Kleinfelder split to the near side, a wing right and left, and a single setback. In motion is Dagan. They give to Dagan. On the end around, cuts outside, and he gets tripped up at the 45. And the clock ends the third quarter of play, so we'll take a break from the action. The final fourth quarter coming up. Middletown 12, Berwick 10. You're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Mansion House of 485 South Union Street in Middletown is happy to sponsor Blue Raider football. The Mansion House has all-you-can-eat steak night on Mondays, and their crab cakes are made fresh daily. Dinners include salad and vegetables. That's the Mansion House of 485 South Union Street in Middletown.
It's Christmas time at Martin's Touch of Class Tanning and Toning Center. This holiday, the gift to give is a gift certificate from Martin's. Receive a free bottle of tanning lotion with the purchase of...
Todd Brubaker on the field with the wireless microphone. Our engineer is John Cooper. As we get set to start the fourth quarter of play, Middletown 12, Berwick 10, and Scott Souders, who went out of the game moments ago limping, we have a progress report on him on the sideline with Todd Brubaker.
Scott Souders has re-aggravated his thigh muscle injury, but he's walked it off running. He's back in the game, ready to go. Back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd, and that's the applause we heard on the far side of the field as he came back in and replaced Gene Lakin at fullback. Middletown will have the football, second and 14. They have it on their own 45. The backs are in the eye. That's Souders and Everly. Now they move into a slot near side. Chad Durr back to pass. Throws flare out pass and Everly incomplete. Just as he grabbed it with one hand, he was tackled from behind by A.J. Casarella.
Poor decision by Everly trying to catch that ball one hand, trying to be a hot dog. He probably could have had it if he would have had two hands. That brings up a third and long for Middletown.
Shotgun for Durr. He's looking, rolling left, steps up in the pocket. He's going to run. He's got room. 50, 45, to the 40. Throws up another man, and he's down at the 36, and a late hit. And a penalty flag is thrown. Durr was down at the 36, and falling on top of him on a late hit was Chris Halowitz. And the Raiders are going to pick up even more yards.
There must have been 20 yards between the line of scrimmage and the secondary. Great job by Durr. He saw it. He just took off. Middletown should be down around the 20-yard line with the 15-yard penalty.
So Middletown, who was penalty-bound in the first half, is seeing the tide slowly shift now as a late-hit penalty against Chris Halowitz. And Chad Durr, once he got past that offensive line, stepped up in the pocket, he had one man to beat and another one right in the middle linebacker area, fell down and it had him wide open. And the Raiders have the football. First and 10 as they go against the wind. They're at the Berwick 21, Middletown leading 12-10. Backs are split, wings split, left side. Chad Durr, they give Everly on the end around. Cuts off left end to the 20, to the 15, and that's where he's down. Everly picking up six on the carry. It will bring up a second and four for Middletown.
Good job by Chris Clouser and Scott Strohacker over there on the left side. He's opening up a hole for Everly. In the first half, they had trouble doing that.
The Raiders have the ball spotted on the 15 of Berwick. Backs are split. Souders and Everly. Wing split left side. Chad Durr, they give to Everly again. Cuts off left tackle, lose one tackler, and then falls down around the 13 as he tried inching closer to a first down. It's going to bring up a third and two. The football is going to be on the 18 of Berwick. They have got to get to the 16, and now Middletown will use a timeout. We'll take one as well. 10:40 remaining, fourth quarter, Middletown 12, Berwick 10. You're listening to the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
When people work as one, there's no limit to the great things that can be accomplished in our community, in our industry, and in our art. We applaud your dedication and achievement. Congratulations on a great season, Blue Raiders.
A message from Core State's Hamilton Bank.
Welcome back, Bethlehem Liberty Football Stadium. John Wulsbach, Andy Hoover, Steve Leedy, and Todd Brubaker, and the Raiders leading Berwick 12-10, and Middletown making a drive here on a nice quarterback keeper on the part of Chad Durr, and after he was tackled, a late hit by Chris Halowitz moves the ball down to about the 21, and then the Raiders on two plays have the ball at the Berwick 18 and a third and two situation. And Middletown again going against the wind.
A big play here for Middletown. If they score in any way on this drive, it would force Berwick to have to score a touchdown. If they don't score, Berwick would only need a field goal. And a big play, third and two.
Third and two on the Berwick 18. The Raiders break out in a power eye to the right. Souders and Dagan, check that, full house backfield. They're all side by side with Everly. We've got illegal motion against Middletown and offsides, and it looked like the left guard or left tackle, I don't know if it was Chris Clouser or who, but one of the Raiders jumped offside, and that is going to mark it back five.
Now that brings up a passing down for Middletown, which Is that good or bad? I don't know. The passing game certainly has been more effective than the running game in this game.
Yeah, because it really opens up that Berwick defense, which has played the run so well, and it gives Durr the opportunity that if even if the man isn't available, he can run it. It's a 3rd and 8 for Middletown with the football on the 18 of Berwick. Durr, play action, rolling right. He's going to run. He gets hit at the 18. Now he throws. Incomplete. And penalty flags are thrown late. Flags thrown down in the backfield. We might get a hold or...
It was thrown after the incomplete pass, John, but it is against Middletown.
Durr might have crossed the line of scrimmage when he threw the football. And we'll have to see.
Put them out of field goal range.
I don't know. It's hard to say whether or not Klinefelter could hit from there or not.
He is going against the wind.
He is going against the wind. If he would kick a field goal, it'd probably be about a 40-yarder. Klinefelter known to hit 45-yarders already. Hard to say. The officials talking for a long time down around the 18. They're going to mark off 5 yards on the penalty. So Middletown will lose 5 yards, and it is a loss of down, so it brings up a 4th and 13, and Brad Klinefelter comes in to attempt what will be a 40-yard field goal for Middletown. It's going to go right down the middle, a little bit to the right, though. Klinefelter to attempt. He's going against the wind. The snap, high. Durr's going to hold on. He's looking. He throws across the middle, and it's incomplete. It was a high snap, and Durr knew that he had to get rid of the football because if he put it down, how high that came up, it just wouldn't have timed out perfectly for Brad Klinefelter's attempted field goal. Durr threw it. It was almost picked off by Berwick, and they will get the football back at their own 23.
Now the question, John, does this move the momentum towards Berwick? Middletown with that drive, they just took it straight down the field and they couldn't punch it in. Berwick's only down by 2 points.
Well, we'll see if the Middletown defense comes up big again. 1st and 10 for Berwick. They're going from our right to left with a football on their own 23. In motion to the near side is Silver. Keltner back to pass. Throws, and is it complete or not? It's complete at the 29. And a quick diving catch on the near side by Dan Frank. It's a gain of 7 on the quick pass. Check that. We'll call it 6, and it brings up a 2nd and 4. Berwick with the football on their own 29. Clock counting at 9:50. Remaining in the game, Middletown 12, Berwick 10. 2nd and 4 for the Bulldogs. They go into a slot right with a single setback. Back to pass, Keltner looking. He's under pressure. He steps up. Oh, he's hit hard, and he's sacked in the backfield.
Great job. Scott Strohecker forced him out of the pocket. As soon as he turned, who was waiting for him? But Mike Zuby takes him down. 3rd and 5 for Berwick.
Oh, is that some heck of a hit? Zuby flattening out. And a big defensive play brings up a 3rd and 6 for the Bulldogs on their own 27. This time they send Avina wide to the right. with a split to the near side. In motion, far side is Kelchner. The quarterback is Jake Kelchner. He's back to pass, rolling right, looking, throws. Almost intercepted. It's complete, though. Avina picks up the first down to the 40 and across midfield to the 49. Scott Everly ran right in front of Avina. He missed catching the pass. It was complete, and Berwick is in Middletown territory.
Everly just took the chance, and sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. He lost out that time. First down for Berwick.
Let's go down the field to Todd Brubaker.
Scott Everly had 6 points in his sights. The ball went through his hands into the Berwick receiver's arms for a first down and keeps the drive alive for Berwick. Back to you.
Otherwise, it would have been Everly all the way on an interception touchdown. Not the case. First and 10 for Berwick on the Middletown 49. In motion to the near side is Silver. Kelchner, the quarterback, back to pass. Now he gives on the right side and stacked up hard. And for a loss of 3 yards is Dan Frank.
Greg Zimmerman originally put the pressure on. Then I believe Mike Zuby had a shot at him. Eventually, Scott Savage was the one to wrap him up. But all three of those players did a good job flushing him out and forcing him backwards a little bit. 3 yard loss for Berwick.
They're going to spot the ball on Berwick's own 49. And Silvers checks out, as does Dan Frank. Charlie Lynn checks in. He will be the single setback in a wing left position. In motion to the near side is Kelchner. The quarterback, Jake Kelchner, rolling left. Looking. He throws. He has a man. It's almost intercepted. It's complete, but we've got a penalty flag. Dagan had it intercepted. It fell out of his hands, and lying on the ground was Avina, and it fell into his hands complete, but a penalty flag on the field, and it looks like it might go against Middletown.
It's right by the pass. I don't know why it would be pass interference. Dagan, I was watching. I don't even think he touched him. That's ridiculous. Not a good call at all.
Dagan had it, and it just dropped out of his hands. And lying on the ground was Avina, and a pass interference penalty is declined. And Berwick has it first and 10 on the Middletown 32. Now the Bulldogs are threatening, and the Raider defense has to get tighter and tighter. As the defensive front for Middletown, Strohecker, Boyd, John Moore, and Mike Zuby. Linebackers include Biesecker, Zimmerman, and Shatters. Four men in the defensive secondary. And Berwick, first and 10, going from right to left. Single setback. Kelchner in motion to the right side. Ends are in tight. Kelchner back to pass, rolling right, looking, pump fake, hit hard by John Moore, he'll lose a tackle, now he scrambles to the near side, Strohecker misses a tackle, Kirchner cuts back the other way, Fox misses a tackle, he's still standing down to the 20 and into the 19-yard line.
How John Moore missed that sack, I don't know. Kelchner just looks like Randall Cunningham out of there. He just eluded tackle after tackle, probably the whole defensive line and the linebacking core. Great run by Kelchner. Give him credit.
Now you can see why Kelchner is a Division I quarterback prospect. He can elude tackles like the best of them. 6:42 remaining, fourth quarter. Berwick 12, Middletown 10. The Bulldogs have it at the Middletown 19. Berwick breaks out of the huddle. Force and Frank are split in the backfield. Wide to the right side is Avina. And we've got all sides against Berwick. Jumping on the right side of the line was Berwick's Ron Smith, a junior tackle. And they're going to lose 5 yards. And what a break for Middletown as Berwick has its momentum stopped for just a moment. Brings up a first and 15. The Bulldogs have the wind to their back, but it has died down just a tad. Alvina is wide to the right. Backs are split. Kirchner, fake pitch, give up the middle. And driving down to the 19-yard line, back to the original line of scrimmage, is the tailback, Dan Frank.
John Moore had a shot at Frank early, right around the line of scrimmage, and Frank just drug him along for a little while. Picked up the 5 yards, second and 10 for Berwick.
Clock continues to count at 5:39 in the fourth quarter. 12-10, Middletown leading Berwick. The Bulldogs with a second and 10 on the Middletown 19. Backs again are split with a wide to the right side. Kelchner, fake pitch. The give again up the middle and stopped at the line of scrimmage, but managing to pick up 2 yards is Dan Frank once again. And all it is the quarterback, Jake Kelcher, with a fake pitch out and then just gives up the middle to the tailback. Berwick calls timeout. We'll take one as well. 5:12 remaining in the game. And it's Middletown 12, Berwick 10. You're listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Smitty's Restaurant of downtown Middletown says good luck to the Blue Raiders. Smitty's Restaurant has homemade cooking ranging from seafood to steak, from pasta to dessert. They even have daily specials, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's Smitty's Restaurant at the corner of South Union and Ann Streets in Middletown.
Welcome back. Bethlehem Liberty Football Stadium, John Wilsbach along with Andy Hoover, Steve Leedy. The whole game, the wind has been blowing from the south to the north, right up the middle of the field. Now let's get another wind condition report and Todd Brubaker.
Right now the wind has shifted positions from being behind any possible field goal attempt by Berwick to being one that's blowing from left to right. Other than that, the wind also, the gusts have died down as well. It's not as steady as it was before. But here we got third down first. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Todd. And it's a crucial third down for Berwick. They have it. Third and 8 on the 17 of Middletown. They go in a trips formation to the right. Three men wide. Single setback. Kelchner, pump fake. Little flare out pass to the outside. And running with the room is Dan Frank to the right side. And he picks up the first down inside the 10 of the 9.
That's something we saw Berwick do well earlier on against Shamokin. They just take that flare out pass and take off. Greg Zimmerman had a shot at him, but couldn't quite get to him. Now they're measuring for the first down.
Well, somebody wasn't covering their man out of the backfield because usually somebody in the linebacker core will cover one of the running backs each and follow that man. They are on the far side of the field, and Todd Brubaker is down there, and they give him a first down on a very close spot. It will be a first and goal to go just inside the 10.
The ball is inside the 10. They have to go 10 yards. They have 3 or 4 downs to get it, so it's a first and goal, a long first and goal.
First and goal to go for Berwick. Middletown leading to 12-10, 5:06 remaining in the game. The Bulldogs have back split and a wide to the near side with Avina. The quarterback, Kelchner, long count. He's going to give right up the middle and stopped hard at the line of scrimmage. On the give up the middle was Dan Frank.
Brian Boyd met Frank like a brick wall. He just nailed him. About a 1 yard loss. Second and goal for Berwick.
The Raider defense has got to hold tight. Second and goal to go. Berwick with the football on the 10. They're going from right to left. Kirchner has backs in the eye behind him. Avena wide to the left. Middletown close to jumping offside. They give off left tackle and a big hole for Dan Frank as he falls down to the two. Dan Frank finding a big hole off left tackle. Got tripped up at the five and spun down and tripped up down to the two.
This is probably the biggest third and goal play you will see this season. A yard and a half for Berwick to go to take the lead. 4 minutes to play.
Middletown has got to put up that steel curtain or else create a turnover or a penalty against Berwick. The Bulldogs call timeout, will take one as well. 3:52 remaining, fourth quarter. Middletown 12, Berwick 10. You're listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Lumber Company proudly salutes the Blue Raiders. Middletown Lumber does custom millwork. They stock 45 different species of domestic and imported hardwood. They're the headquarters for cedar and redwoods. Middletown Lumber also specializes in hard-to-find items. That's Middletown Lumber Company at Brown and Clinton Streets in Middletown.
Welcome back, Bethlehem Liberty Football Stadium. And the Bulldogs are looking to take the lead against Middletown. They have a third and goal to go on the 1.5 yard line of Middletown. And what an exciting game this has been. This one's going down to the wire like the Redland game. Back in the middle of the season. It's a third and goal to go. Berwick had called the timeout, and now their coach, George Curry, scrambles to the sideline. The Bulldogs, third and goal to go on the 1.5 yard line. Backs are in the eye, and a wing to the left side. Keltzner, he's going to keep it. Runs up the middle, and he dives in. Touchdown, Berwick. And the Bulldogs are on top.
Brian Boyd had a shot from behind, almost stopped him, just couldn't quite get there in time. Touchdown, Berwick, they lead by four.
16-12, Berwick leading it. And Middletown this season has not had to use its two-minute offense at the end of a game. And now it looks like it's going to come into play. The Bulldogs will be going for the two-point conversion. They have a slot to the near side, wide to the far side, and a single setback. In motion near side, Avena. Keltzner back to pass, looking, throws, almost intercepted, and knocked down by Ernie Fultz. Ernie Fultz almost had it, and it's 16-12, Berwick leading, and the thinking behind that, Andy Hoover, is if they score 2 points, it's an 18-12 game. Middletown has yet to make an extra point in this game, and if by chance Middletown would score a touchdown, and their extra point would fail, we'd be seeing overtime. Nonetheless, the extra point conversion was no good on the part of Berwick. They lead it 16-12, 3:49 to play in this game, and we are going to need one of those super runbacks by Scott Eberle.
And of course, I would bet Berwick will be kicking away from Eberle.
Teeing it up for the Bulldogs is Mike Boupain. The ball falls around the 40. Nobody is leaving this game. Kicking from right to left. Boupain back deep to receive. Emily, Durr, Dagan. They have got to hold on to the football. No mistakes here on out for the Raiders. Bupain, end over end. Everly's going to get it. Takes it at the 10. Takes a half step back to the 15. Now he's up to the 20. Up the middle, tripped up, and taken down the 27-yard line. That's where the Raiders will start with 3:44 remaining fourth quarter, and they trail it by four. Tonight's game, or rather this afternoon's game, is also being brought to you by Core State's Hamilton Bank and by the Mansion House. We'd like to thank those sponsors on the Blue Raiders Sports Network. It is a first and 10, and Middletown breaks out of the huddle. Tad Soltis is in at left tackle, wearing that soft cast on the right hand. It's a double counter in the backfield. Dagan, big hold to the 30, 35, 40, breaks the tackle and down to 41. A first down in Middletown on that quick double reverse counter in the backfield. And the Raiders have it first and 10.
A play we've seen all season long. That was the first time Middletown has run it all in this game, surprisingly enough. Great play, Dagan with the whole Middletown. That could be the play that gets them going.
Clock continues to count at 3:12 in the fourth quarter. Backs are split. Now they go into a double wing. Everly, Souders, single set back, Durr straight back to pass. He's looking. He has Everly. It's intercepted at the 40, down to the 35, spun up Silvers to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, and tackled from behind at the 14-yard line.
Oh.
Gene Silvers stepping in front of Everly around the 45-yard line, and that could be the icing on the cake for Berwick.
Durr just kind of threw a line drive. Maybe he sort of just floated it, not actually floated, but threw a nice high with a good arc on it to Everly. Instead, Silver steps right in front, and I hate to say it, but I think Middletown's season is coming to a close.
The clock resumes the count at 2:40, remaining in the fourth quarter. Middletown, though, does have, I believe, three of its timeouts remaining. First and 10 for Berwick. Backs are in the eye, wide to the near side. Keltschner, long count over center. The give, right up the middle, Force with a big hole, and he picks up five all the way down to the 10-yard line. It's going to bring up a second and five for Berwick. And the Middletown side starting to disperse. And limping off the field right now for Middletown once again is John Moore, who has had that problem this season, and I believe he was wearing some type of soft cast on his leg today.
And John has only the sixth interception of the season for Chad Durr.
It's a second and five for Berwick. They come out in the slot left, wide to the right. The quarterback, Keltschner, running it up the middle. He's going to be held up at the line of scrimmage by Zuby and Biesecker. He picks up three on the pushing and shoving and gets down to about the 7-yard line as the clock continues to count in a minute, 26 in the game, and Berwick leading 16-12. Stay tuned for the post-game show with interviews, hopefully, for Middletown head football coach Dennis Etze. Certainly the path that Middletown is going, if they do lose, it's not known whether he'll talk or not, but this Raider team has nothing to be unhappy about. They have played one great season. Now we have a delay of game against Berwick, and the ball will be moved back 5 yards against the Bulldogs. The Raiders have played one heck of a season, to say the least. And Berwick, too, has played a great game. And the Bulldogs will be coming down to Hershey, most likely next Saturday afternoon. It's a third and eight for Berwick. On the Middletown 13, Keltschner the give in the backfield and running to the near side. To the outside is Avina. Breaks a tackle with the 15 and then just gets tripped up by Mike Dagan at the 13. Middletown will call a timeout, and if Dagan did not trip up Avina, he would have had some nice sideline action.
Great job by Dagan. He just dove and grabbed his feet and just tripped him up. That was just a nice play.
Middletown calls timeout. It brings up a fourth down for Berwick with the football marked on the 12-yard line, 48 seconds remaining in the game. So certainly it's not over. What will Berwick do, though, now? They have a fourth and eight. Do you go ahead and try to get it in, or do you get the field goal and use that as a possible safety measure? Because Middletown would need 7 points now to tie it up. We shall see what's going to happen here. I don't know, and I think if Middletown does get the ball back one more time, we haven't seen those razzle-dazzle plays at all this season, Andy.
Well, if they would get the ball back, you would think this would be a spot where they'd be missing Doug Hunter. He's got that quick speed and can get down the field fast. Kleinfelder would be in his spot. Well, Middletown has to get the ball first.
Berwick's going to go for it. Fourth and eight on the 13. Kelchner in motion. Jake Kelchner, the quarterback, rolling right, looking, looking, looking. He throws into the end zone, and incomplete. That runs the clock down to 43 seconds. Now Middletown will get the football back one more time, and they need a miracle. Somebody better put some extra bucks in the offering plate tomorrow at church, because the Raiders will have it first and 10 on their own 12-yard line. Durr already lines up in a shotgun. It's a wing, right and left, wide left. Durr rolling left. He throws across the middle, and it's incomplete. It looked like he got his hand over the football too much, and the ball into the dirt stops the clock at 38 seconds.
He had Dagan and Zuby across the middle, but there's a lot of Berwick defenders around. Probably could have caught the ball. As soon as they would have caught it, they would have been dropped for the tackle.
This is where you need those old Dallas Cowboy miracles. No doubt about it. The Raiders come out, trips left. Durr back, looking left. He's got time. He's got a man. He's hit hard. He's still eludes another defender. He's scrambling to the near side. He's got some room, but he's going to hold it. Now he still stands at the 15 and goes out of bounds at the 18, and the clock will continue to count at 20 seconds because Durr threw the football out of bounds. They're going to line the football up around the 18. Durr calling the audible. Now Troy Hamilton comes in. Clock stops at 8 seconds and a timeout for Middletown. What took so long?
That's exactly what I was going to say, John. I was wondering. I thought as soon as Durr would have gone down, they would have timed out instead they decided to wait. Now just 8 seconds.
What I don't understand is on this last play, Chad Durr eluded three tackles on the far side of the field. He ran to the near side of the field and had three blockers in front of him. And he kept slowing down. You could tell he was passing all the way because he was slowly jogging, looking for a long pass. Instead, Chad Durr probably could have tucked it under and ran a good distance down the near sideline and then have gone out of bounds. Instead, held on, got tackled, and then as he got tackled around 2 yards from the sideline, he decided to toss the ball out of bounds, and the clock continued to count. Possibly one last play for Middletown, and a third and four. They have it on their own 19. Chad Durr now over center. He's back to pass again. He's looking, steps up in the pocket, and he drops the football. Now a scramble for it. Who's going to pick it up? Back at the 5-yard line, Berwick falls on it. No, Chris Krauser fell on it around the 5. And that ends the ball game. It's all over. The game is over, and the Raiders lose it 16 12, and what a disappointing end to what has been a great season for the Middletown Blue Raiders, and you cannot take anything away from them. They played a very hard-fought game, but did not come out on top. There's disappointment on the Middletown side. Berwick, meanwhile, celebrates. They will face Aliquippa next Saturday afternoon. We will be going down to Todd Brubaker for some comments in just a couple minutes. But Middletown has nothing to hold their heads down about. They won a District 3 championship, and nobody can take that away from them. And you can probably bet, and I would think so, but I still believe a parade is in order for these Blue Raiders. They won the district championship. They made it here, the first team to get into the state AAA semifinals. And they deserve a lot of credit on a great season.
12 of the past 13 weeks, Middletown has made it look so easy. And today, they just face someone who, well, Middletown defense this season, they have played quite a few games where they just weren't up to tone, but luckily the teams.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you, Andy. Let's go down the field right now to Todd Brubaker.
A great game, nothing to be ashamed of from these kids. We got a heck of an effort out of our kids today, all season long. They have a lot to be proud of. You know, it's going to hurt you. You win as a team, you lose as a team, and that goes right from the coach's standpoint down through the players. But we had an excellent effort. It's a fine group of young men we have here. We're proud of them.
Okay, Coach, thanks a lot for talking with me. Hey, he sums it up well. I can't say nothing more. It's just such a darn shame to lose a game like this when it was so close into your grasp. These kids played well all year. They played even better today. So, Middletown finished the season 12-2. Berwick moves on to play out with the next week in the state game. But these kids are champions. Back to you, John.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd Brubaker. And, of course, our comments are just a slight bit distorted on the field. Coach Etsy also disappointed in how things have ended, but he will certainly go into the locker room now on the far side of the field and console his players. John Moore remains out on the field for Middletown and giving a couple comments to some of the local media from the Harrisburg area. And meanwhile, the Berwick Marching Band performing on the near sidelines with their victory playing. We're going to take a break from the action, come back with more on the post-game show. Final score in the AAA state semifinals, Berwick 16, Middletown 12. You're listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network.